भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th canto chapter 69 text 44 and 45 the last two verses in this chapter entitled Narad with his Krishna's palaces
evam manushya padavim anuvartamano नारायणो अखिल भावया गृहीत शक्ति रेमे अंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृद निरीक्षण सजुष्टा एवं मनुष्य पदवी मनुवर्तमानो नारायणो अखिल भावया गृहीत शक्ति रेमंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृदो निरक्षण सजुष्टा एवं मनुष्य पदवी मनुवर्तमानो नारायणो अखिल भावया गृहीत शक्ति रेमेंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृद निरीक्षण हासजुष्टा एवं मनुष्य पदमी मनुवर्तमानो नारायणो अखिल भवाय गृहीत शक्ति प्रेम अंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृदानि निरीक्षणा सजुष्टा एवं मनुष्य पदवी मनुवर्तमानो नारायणो अखिल भवाय गृहीत शक्ति प्रेमे अंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृद निरीक्षणा सजुष्टा मनुष्य पदवी मनुवर्तमानो नारायणो अखिल भवा गृहीत शक्ति प्रेमे अंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृद निरीक्षण सजुष्टा
माताजी
परमात्मानो नारायणो रेमेंग षोडश सहस्र वरांगनानां सव्रीड सवृद निरीक्षण सजुष्टा
थैंक यू वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग एवं दस मनुष्य ऑफ ह्यूमन बीइंग्स पदवीम द पाथ अनुवर्तमानः फॉलोइंग नारायणः the Supreme Lord Narayana, Akhila, of everyone, Bhavaya, for the welfare, Grihita, having manifested, Shaktihi, his potencies, Reme, he enjoyed, Anga, my dear King Parikshit, Shodasha, 16, Sahasra, 1000, Vara, most excellent, Angananam, of women, Sabrida, shy, Saurada, and affectionate, Nirikshana, by the glances, Hasa, and laughter, Jyushtaha, satisfied. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In this way, Lord Narayan imitated the ways of ordinary humans, manifesting his divine potencies for the benefit of all beings. Thus he enjoyed, my dear king, in the company of his 16,000 exalted consorts who served the Lord with their shy, affectionate glances and laughter. So there is no purport to this particular text. So we will read the next text. Translation of Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance and destruction. My dear king, anyone who chants about, hears about or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate, will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has given various meanings for the word Ananya Vishayani. This term may indicate that the Lord performed activities in Dwarka that were unusual even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others. Or the term can be understood to indicate that the Lord performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. In any case, one who recites or hears accounts of these pastimes will certainly be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and as Srila Prabhupada writes, certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada further points out that the word anumodate here indicates that one who supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement will also receive the benefits mentioned here. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 69th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narad Muni Visits Lord Krishna's Palaces in Dwarka. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. At the very outset, I would like to express my deep sense of gratitude to His Grace Baldev Prabhu for giving me this service, for speaking on these two last verses of this chapter. I need and I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas sitting in this temple hall to empower me to speak something worthwhile on this subject. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and Arjuna describes him as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. This is the verse which Arjuna addresses to Lord Krishna when he becomes conscious of his divinity. Until then he had regarded Krishna as his friend, Sakha. The relationship was very deep and loving, but this is how he regarded him. But once Arjuna became aware of his divinity, this is how he addresses the Supreme Lord. But though the devotees know the supremacy of Krishna, when Krishna appears in human form, the foolish are bewildered. Krishna himself says, avajananti mamudha manusham tanumashritaha. So when Krishna accepts human form of life to manifest his actual transcendental pastimes, many regard him as an ordinary human being, though he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And an extreme example of this is our great Duryodhana, who, when Krishna goes as Shantidut to broker peace between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, is in that Dhritarashtra's hall, palace. So there, Duryodhana dares to even arrest Krishna. So that is the height of thinking Manushim Tanum Ashrita, has reached the peak of that kind of stupid understanding. But the Supreme Lord Krishna can only be understood by devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Bhaktya tu ananya shakya hameva vidho Arjuna. So you can understand Krishna only by devotional service. But even devotees, sometimes pure devotees, are bewildered by Krishna's human-like pastimes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam there is a verse, कृतवान किल कर्माणि सह रामेण केशवः अतिमर्त्यानि भगवान गूढ़ कपट मानुषः. So the Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, along with Balram, played like a human being, and so masked he performed many superhuman acts, atimartyani. So like looking like any other ordinary child, Krishna plays the role so perfectly. He performed activities were superhuman, atimartyani. So he performed those activities, and how did he do it? Gudaha, masked. He performed many superhuman acts, and that way he played like an ordinary human being. Now, Srila Prabhupada commenting says that no human being would perform the wonderful, humanly impossible acts which Krishna performed while he was present on this earth. There are quite a few examples which can be cited to establish the superhuman activities of Krishna. Now, when Krishna appeared before his father Vasudev and his mother Devaki in the prison, he appeared in his four-handed form. That is how he manifested himself in the prison house. And then his mother Devaki, she became afraid and she requested, afraid because she didn't want him to be found out in this form. So she requested Krishna, he said that please, you resume your normal human form. So Krishna gave up that 400 form and assumed the 200 normal human, the form of a child, ordinary child. Babuva prakritaha shishuhu. He became like any other ordinary child. Isn't this extraordinary? And actually, Lord Krishna started manifesting his superhuman activities when he was just a mere baby in the lap of his mother Yashoda in Vrajadham. Just there. So what did he do? The witch Putana, she had come to kill him. Actually, she had applied poison to her breast and she came to breastfeed him and kill him. But a few days old child, Krishna, he actually started sucking the breast of this witch Putana and he sucked out her very life. So Putana was dead. So he sucked out all the poison. Eventually, of course, he gave her a place as a nurse in the spiritual world. But goes to prove what an extraordinary activity this is. Which babe, baby can perform such a wonderful act? And similarly, as a mere boy, Krishna lifted the Govardhan mountain. Just as a child may pick up a mushroom, very easy to pick up. Mushrooms are not very heavy things, very delicate. So he just as a child may pick up a mushroom, similarly Krishna picked up the Govardhan mountain and he held it for 7 days and seven nights and protected all the people of all the Vrajavasis from the wrath of Indra. Indra tried his level best to unsettle the people of Vrajadham, but Krishna did not allow anything to happen, not even a hair, so to say, could be touched. And eventually, Indra was humbled. This is an atimartya activity. And then, Krishna delivered the nectarian teachings of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He is sitting in the chariot of Arjuna, as a charioteer, and when Arjuna is totally bewildered, has lost his composure, he brings him to his normal state as a Kshatriya warrior for which he has come to this battlefield and gives him the nectarian instructions of Bhagavad Gita, which are perennial, which are immortal. 5,000 years ago these were spoken, but not a word, not a line from Bhagavad Gita can be altered. Such is the supremacy of the instructions which Krishna gave to Arjuna. So this is supermartya. Then, sitting in the rath, Arjun expresses a desire that he wants to see the universal form. He wants to see the Vishwaroop of Krishna. And Krishna always indulges his devotees. So Krishna manifests his universal form. He is there in the ratha and he manifests his universal form, which is awesome. Very, very difficult to even behold. Arjuna has initially eagerness to see the universal form, and when he sees that universal form, which is so radiant, it is described that the light that emanated, the effulgence that emanated from the universal form was such that even if thousands of suns were to arise in the horizon, their combined radiation, their combined effulgence couldn't have matched the effulgence of this Vishwarupa. So such is the effulgence of the of Sri Krishna in his Vishwarup form. There was a scientist called Oppenheimer. You must have heard of him. He was a physicist. Now, this physicist, Oppenheimer, he described that he had read Bhagavad Gita. He was a student of Bhagavad Gita. He described that this, when he exploded the atom bomb, he described that the light that came out of that, which went on, stretched for miles together. He said that this is somewhat, you know, comparable to the description of effulgence emanating from the universal body of, you know, Krishna, which is described in Bhagavad Gita. So even Oppenheimer describes this. So Krishna always indulges his devotees. So first of all, at the request of Arjuna, he manifests his universal form. When Arjuna finds it difficult even to behold the universal form, very, very difficult, he sees, you know, so many people just, you know, entering the mouth of this universal form, and they are being, you know, bitten, you know, they are being, the form bites them more or less and, you know, swallows them. So seeing that, Arjuna becomes very, very afraid. He becomes very, very perplexed, and then he comes and begs of Sri Krishna. He says that, please, O Lord, I would like to see your four-handed form. Krishna indulges, shows him the four-handed form. Then finally, Arjuna says, I would like to see your Shyam Sundar form, which was the form that he always is, Krishna. The most beautiful form which nobody can really ever see. So this is the magnificence of Krishna. Krishna himself declares that he is the transcendental Lord in many places. He says that, Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He says that is the ultimate, you know, the purpose of all the sacrificial and austerities that are performed. He says that he is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matta Sarvam Pravartate. Then Matta Parataram Nanyat Kinchi Dasti Dhananjaya. He says that there is no truth superior to me. I am the Param Satya. So Krishna himself says, so In the minds of the devotees, there is not even an iota of doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Though he may appear in a human form like us, the pure devotee never has any doubts. So Krishna plays the role of a human being so completely and so perfectly that even his pure devotees are sometimes bewildered. Kunti Devi, in one of her prayers, she says, Naveda kaschit bhagavan chikirshitam tavayamanasya nrunam vidambanam. She says that, O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so misleading. So the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are human and therefore they are misleading. And then she says again another prayer, Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya akartuhu atmanaha tiryak nru rishisu yadahasu tad atyanta vidambanam. She says that, of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So Kunti Devi is a pure devotee of the Lord. Her prayers are chanted by great sages. So it's not an ordinary personality at all. But yet she says that, I am bewildered, O Lord, I am bewildered. And then she refers to the pastime of, tying the rope, Damodar Leela. She refers to the Damodar Leela. And she said that, my dear Krishna, Yashoda took a rope. She took a rope and to bind you. But you had committed some minor offense for which she decided she would bind you. And when she wanted to bind you to a rope, you were so much afraid that there were tears in your beautiful eyes, tears, and all the kajal, all the mascara which was there in your eyes, that spread on your cheeks, which made you look even more transcendentally beautiful. And though fear personified is afraid of you, O Krishna, you seem to be afraid of your mother. Now, when a child is afraid of the mother, afraid of the punishment that is going to be meted out, the child naturally cries. And Krishna, the transcendental Lord, also cried. He cried like any other ordinary child. So much of the tears were welling in his eyes. He said, don't beat me, don't punish me. And eventually, she bound him by the rope of her intense love. Vatsalya rasa. Concretized in the form of a rope. And she eventually, was able to bind Krishna. But before that, she had to go through so much. She was struggling to catch hold of him. She was struggling to run after him. Her hair was all disheveled, or the flowers that she was wearing had all fallen down. She was running, she was sweating. And then Krishna felt sorry for his dear mother. He says that she's struggling so hard to catch me. Let her catch me. So he allowed himself to be caught. It is not that she caught him. And he allowed himself to be caught by her love. So this is Krishna. So thus Krishna performs, so many pastimes, wonderful pastimes. So today we have read the two concluding verses of this chapter entitled Narada Visits Krishna's Palaces. And with Narad Muni. Narad Muni is a very pure devotee of the Lord. Very pure devotee of the Lord. And he features in so many beautiful pastimes which are described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is not an ordinary devotee. And he manifests himself in all the four yugas. He is the spiritual master of Valmiki, who wrote the Ramayana. He is the guru of Vedavyas, who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam and also compiled the Vedas and did so many literary things he did. Then he is the spiritual master of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, people from Satyaloka, then the Prachetas and so many more. So this is the caliber of Narad Maharaj. And Narad Muni is that supreme devotee of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, whom he happened to visit when they adventured during Dwapar Yuga. And Narad Muni is always vibrating his veena and chanting the holy names of Krishna. So this is in brief description of Narad Muni. Now we read in the previous verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that after Krishna had killed Narkasur, Narad Muni heard that Krishna alone had married 16,000 maidens and he was now the husband of actually 16,108 wives. So, being a pure devotee of Krishna, Narad Muni did not think that it is impossible. Anything is possible for the Lord. Krishna can do anything. So, though he had no doubts whatsoever, he still had transcendental curiosity to find out how Krishna is managing his household affairs. A very natural curiosity. He has married so many wives, how must he be managing his household affairs? So Narad Muni comes to Dwarka. All this is described in the previous verses. I won't go into the details. So Narad Muni comes to Dwarka. He is fascinated by the beautiful city where the state of the art, architecture is there. Tvashta, who is the architect of Vishwakarma, he has built that city. Everything is beautiful. Everything is glorious. And he is also the one who has built all the palaces in which the queens of Krishna reside. So, Narad Muni wants to go to all the palaces and to find out how Krishna is performing his household duties. So, the beautiful part of this is that Srila Sukadev Goswami, he doesn't shy away from describing these pastimes. Now, Sukadev Goswami doesn't take the position, I'm a brahmachari, maybe I shouldn't go into so many details. But no, for him, anything to do with Krishna is transcendental. All the Krishna's pastimes which he has done with his queens, they are all transcendental. So Sukadev Goswami has absolutely no qualms about describing all the pastimes in detail, which he does. Of course, not in so much depth, but still he does. He does describe what all things Narada saw in the palace. So, but the extraordinary feature of this pastime is that Krishna was able to manifest himself in 16,108 Swayam Krishna forms. He was Krishna in each and every palace. And he welcomed Narad Muni in each and every palace. And he did not repeat anything that he did earlier. So, he did not say, ditto, Narad Muni, go ahead, next palace. No. He did everywhere, he was Swayam Krishna only. And Narad Muni had that transcendental curiosity to find out what is happening. And Lord Krishna did not, disenchant him in whatever he wanted to see. So, that is how it is. So, Krishna was performing diverse duties of an ideal grihastha in each and every palace, which is exemplary for all of us. And that is the reason why Sukadev Goswami describes all these pastimes in detail. In Bhagavad Gita there is a verse, yad yad acharati shreshto tatra deva itaro janaha sa yad pramalam krute lokas tatra anuvartate. So yad yad acharati shreshto, Krishna is shreshta, as here is a householder, he is shreshta in every possible way. He is the supreme transcendental Lord, but he is a shreshta, and as an ordinary husband he is setting highest examples for all of us to follow in each and every palace that Narad Muni visited. So, he performs his activities as a husband, as a father, as a ruler, so many things. These are all, you can just go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to understand what all things Krishna was doing. So, I'll briefly give the summary of this chapter, because this, after this, the next chapter is going to be a new canto will start. So, in the first palace, Krishna as Sakala Dharma Bhutam Varishta. So, as the greatest amongst the practitioners of religion, Krishna, as soon as he saw Narada entering the palace of Rukmini, you are sitting with Rukmini on a cot. As soon as he saw Narada, Krishna got up. He got up and welcomed Narad Muni. He welcomed Narad Muni. This has been described again and again by many speakers before me. So he offered obeisances to Narad Muni. Then he washed his feet. Krishna washed the feet of Narad Muni, sprinkled the foot wash on himself and on Rukmini. And that way, he considered himself purified. Now, this is what a grihastha is supposed to do. This is how a grihastha is supposed to honor any spiritual personality who enters his house. And this is what Krishna did. And Krishna talked to Narada in measured words, weighed words, it is said, which were as sweet as nectar. Spoke very nicely. And then he said, O Narad Muni, O fortunate one, O master, what may we do for you? In what way should we serve you? So this is how we are supposed to be, treating our guests. First of all, and Krishna offered the very seat on which he was sitting to Narad Muni. So this is how, we are supposed to, treat our guests, receive them very respectfully, speak to them very sweetly, make them comfortable, And then Krishna offered him all hospitality also. So this way, Krishna, Narad Muni then said, I ask your blessings to remember you so that I during my travels constantly think of you. Narad Muni is already doing it, but he is still asking for this benediction. So after conversing with the Lord for a short while, Narada went to another of his palaces where he saw Sri Krishna playing dice with his queen and Uddhava. Different roles. So there again, Narada Muni was welcomed in the same way as he was in the first palace. Now I won't keep repeating this, otherwise then you will get up from this hall and go out. So everywhere he did the same thing. In another palace, Narada saw Krishna preparing to take his bath. In another, he saw him performing fire sacrifices. In another, he was feeding the Brahmanas. In another palace, he was eating the remnants left by the Brahmanas. In one palace, Lord was performing noontime rituals. In another, he was quietly chanting Gayatri Mantra. In another, he was sleeping on his bed. In yet another, he was consulting his ministers like Uddhava. In yet another, he was enjoying water sports with young women. Everywhere, different activities. Somewhere, the Lord was giving charity to Brahmanas. In another palace, he was joking and laughing with his consorts. In yet another, he was meditating on the Super Soul. Somewhere, he was serving his spiritual masters. In another palace, he was arranging for the marriage of his sons and daughter. Somewhere else, he was going out to hunt animals. And elsewhere, he was moving about in disguise to find out what the citizens were doing. Now, Krishna is the knower of past, present and future. Yet, when he is playing the role of a grihastha and a king here, he goes in disguise to find out, you know, what the ministers are saying about him. This is how kings used to do it in the past. They would go in disguise and, you know, investigate the things that are going on in their kingdom. So, having seen all this, Narada, he addressed Lord Krishna. He said that only because I have served your lotus feet can I understand the varieties of your yogamaya potency, which ordinary human beings, being bewildered by illusion, cannot begin to perceive. So ordinary people cannot appreciate the yogamaya potency of the Lord. But Narada Muni says that because, you know, I am surrendered to your lotus feet, I am able to appreciate your yogamaya potency. Otherwise, all these bewildering pastimes just cannot take place. This is that I am very fortunate. Now, you know, I simply want to desire to travel all over the three worlds, chanting the glories of your pastime, which purify all the worlds. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he said that I am the speaker of religion, its performer and its sanctioner. I observe religious principles to teach them to the world. And then he said something very, very beautiful. Because Krishna had worshipped Narad Muni, Krishna, very sensitive as the Supreme Lord, he realized that Narada was somewhat uncomfortable because he had been worshipped by the Lord. So he says to Narada, he says, my child, putra, ma khidaha, don't become, you know, upset, don't become gloomy, you know, do not be disturbed. Please do not think that you have committed an offense by allowing me to wash your feet. He's assuring Narada that don't feel anything within your heart that, no, you are worshipped by me and therefore don't become despondent on that account. So, this is how a grihastha is supposed to receive his guest. And then he gives a beautiful example Krishna gives, which Shukdev Goswami described. He says that just as a son does not offend his father, a child is sitting in the lap of his father, and while sitting in the lap of father, he sometimes, you know, kicks with his feet. He kicks his father. Now, the child doesn't know normal propriety in behavior and all that. He just kicks the father sometimes, giggles, laughs. Says that just as, you know, a child touches his father with his feet while on the lap of his father. So similarly, you should understand that by allowing me to wash your lotus feet, you have not offended me. You have not offended me at all. So, be very, very, happy in whatever situation you are. And then in the two verses that we have read today, in this way, Lord Narayan imitated the ways of ordinary humans, manifesting his divine potencies for the benefit of all beings. Thus he enjoyed, dear King, in the company of his 16,000 exalted consorts, who served the Lord with their shy, affectionate glances and laughter. And then the conclusion in this, Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance and destruction. My dear King, anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate, will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation. So, we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti sorjana. So, one has to know the divine birth and activities of Lord Krishna. But here Shukdev Goswami is saying that even one who appreciates these so-called, household activities of Krishna, which are not really household, they are transcendental, because Krishna is the center of all these activities. Even one who does this, such a person also will benefit in his spiritual life. So, this is the sort of sum and substance which I wanted to present before you. And today is also happens to be Ramchandra Vijay Utsava. So, I would like to speak a few words on this pastime of Lord Ram. Going to be very, very brief. I don't have so much time. So, this Ramchandra Vijay Utsava Dasara, it's a festival commemorating victory of Lord Ram, Maryada Purushottam Ram, over the demon king Ravana. Now, Jayadeva Goswami describes this pastime very beautifully. Vitarati dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam keshavadrita rama sharira jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of Ramchandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were very much harassed by this monster. So Valmiki Ramayana describes the pastimes of Lord Ram in Treta Yuga, and in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also the pastimes of Lord Ram are described. Please don't get worried. I am not going into Ramayana in detail. I just want to describe a few salient features of this Vijaya aspect of Lord Ram or Ravana. So how was the battle? We will straight away do fast forward and go into the battle scene which took place in Lanka, where Lord Ram is on the ground level. And Ravana, the ten-headed Ravana, is in his chariot, fully armed, also looking resplendent, wanting to, kill Lord Ram. So, seeing that Lord Ram was fighting, he was on the ground level, so Indra says that this is not right, that my Lord, should be standing on the ground. So, he gives him his ratha, gives him his chariot, and also gives him his driver, Matali. So, Lord Ram now is in the chariot. So both are more or less on the same level as far as the fighting goes, not where the qualities are concerned. So there is this war commences. Now, with what can you compare this Rama Ravana, Yuddha? So as children we learned, Rama Ravana Yoho Yuddham, Rama Ravana Yoho Yuddham Yuva. You cannot compare the battle between Ram and Ravan with any other battle. The battle is like battle between Ram and Ravan. So that extraordinary was the battle between Ram and Ravan. So Prabhu Ramchandra is on the ground level, he is in the Ratha, and he asks his charioteer Matali, he says that, please, you know, go ahead very fast, you are little slow, take me where Ravana is standing, I am very eager to fight with him. And then suddenly Lord Ram realizes that it is not his Ratha, he realizes that the chariot belongs to Indra. So he apologizes with great humility to Matali and tells him, I am sorry. I am very sorry. You know, I should not have asked to rush you like this. I should not have done that. I am not your master. Your master is Indra really, in reality. But then, you know, I am so anxious. I am so anxious to kill this Ravana. And because of that anxiety, you know, I transcended my norms of behavior. He is after all Maryada Purushottam. In any situation, you know, he observes the Maryada. Here also he is observing Maryada. So Matali was very much touched by Lord Ram's, you know, wonderful display of humility, he said. And then Lord Ram and Ravan began to exchange arrows. Soon the fighting became very, very intense. Very, very intense fighting. And it is described that clouds rained blood on Ravana's chariot, and a flock of vultures, you know, they started following Ravana. So Ravana became very nervous. So he thought these are all bad omens. And Rakshasas became exceedingly despondent. Whereas, you know, there were all auspicious signs where Lord Ram was, you know, heading towards Ravana. So in the duel that followed, Lord Ram and Ravan exhibited the entire wealth of their respective powers. The entire prowess, whatever prowess they had, you know, in them, this was displayed during this Rama-Ravana Yuddha. The competition became so intense that both the armies, the soldiers on both the sides, Ravana's demon soldiers and Ram's monkey soldiers, they saw the intense fighting between Ram and Ravan, and they were literally stunned with amazement. So they stopped fighting because they were wanting to watch this, you know, Rama-Ravana Yuddha. They stopped fighting. So actually, when fight is going on between the two leaders, it is not that the soldiers take holiday that day. No, actually they are also supposed to be fighting, but they were so overwhelmed by seeing the intensity of the fight that was going on between Ram and Ravan that they are just gaping, you know, what is this going on? That's how it was. So when Ravan tried to knock down Indra's flag, Lord Ram deflected his arrow with his own, and then because he was determined to match Ravan blow for blow, Lord Ram knocked down Ravan's flag. Ravan then pierced Indra's horses, but when the celestial steeds did not even stagger, Ram, you know, let loose his arrows, but the steeds, you know, they were after all, you know, from heavenly, different breed. So they did not even stagger when the arrows hit them. So Ravana became very angry, you know, very frustrated. So he thought, here am I, you know, hitting these horses and nothing is happening to them. They are not even staggering. So at last Ravana resorted to his true Rakshasi ways, you know, Mayavi ways of illusion. And he sent all kinds of, you know, to the air, all kinds of mace clubs, this, trees, mountain peaks, everything. So Lord Ram counteracted all these illusions very readily. And then it is described that Lord Ram and Ravan continued to dispatch thousands of weapons at each other. And as they collided in the air, they fell down on the battlefield. In this way, the fighting continued. Lord Ram matched Ravan blow for blow, while all created beings looked on, their minds astonished with wonder. The exchange of all varieties of weapons became so feverish that fighting that took place was unparalleled in the history of warfare. So, on one occasion, Indra's, you know, charioteer, Matali, he addresses Lord Ram and he says, Lord Ram, is it that you are not aware of your own potency? Is it that you have forgotten about the astra, you know, that was given to you way back by Agastya Muni, which is Brahmastra, which can alone kill Ravana. Otherwise, you chop off his heads one after other, the heads are reverting, coming back. One head is removed, another head appears. So it's a fruitless endeavor. But you can use the astra that has been given to you by Agastya Rishi, and that will mark the end of Ravana. And then Lord Ravana, then Prabhu Ramchandra, he invokes that astra. He chants the mantras. It is there is a great description of what happened, you know, how the earth shook when that astra, you know, was taken out. And then eventually, at the end of it all, Rama, Lord Ram shoots that arrow and it pierces the heart. It is described that he had some kind of a nectar below his navel, Ravana. So he pierces that and Ravana falls down dead. So this is how Lord Ram, you know, Ram wins. It is his victory. It is Vijaya. He gains victory. Now, there is killing of Ravana. These days we find that Ravana's effigy is burnt in so many places. It's kind of a festival where huge effigies are created. And sometimes, you know, when the effigies are burning and children excitedly go near the effigy, the, you know, some of the parts of the effigy fall on the children. There have been accidents and deaths during burning of the effigies over excitement, you know. So people are no longer concerned with the qualities which Ravana, qualities or lack of qualities, qualities which Ravana possess, or the superhuman qualities which Lord Ram, you know, possess. And Lord Ram killed Ravana. So Ravana is actually representative of all the bad qualities. His 10 heads represent 10 bad qualities actually. And the main Ravana can be said to be the personification of lust. And he was proud, he was arrogant, and he, despite all the good advice that he got, he never let go of Mother Sita. He never could ever touch her. Divine personality that Sita is, he could never ever could really touch her, but he was harassing her, he was victimizing her. That is Ravana. So eventually Ravana was killed. It is said that Ravana was a very learned person. He was the knower of 4 Vedas and 6 Shastras. He was Parangata. He was Shastra Parangata personality. But all his so-called, you know, inverted comma, good qualities were completely, you know, erased by his viciousness, by his lust, by his wanting to enjoy Mother Sita, property of Lord Ram. Everything got destroyed. Eventually, no, Ravana was defeated. Eventually, he was killed. So, basically, for us, we have to recognize that many of us, at least speaking for myself, we have mini Ravanas in us. We are mini Ravanas. We have many of these kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsara, and so many other bad qualities which are there in us. And actually, for us, killing of Ravana, actually victory over these, you know, anarthas, anartha nivruti, which is the thing which we want to aim for. So when anartha nivruti take place, then we can hope that one day, you know, the Supreme Lord Krishna will empower us to chant his holy names, you know, with attention and with love and with conviction that holy name is supreme. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments or any questions, you may raise this. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Ramchandra Vijaya ki, Jai.